You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back with more Tapped Out with Brendan Tobin and Sean Levine on the BetQL Network.
Very excited to talk to our next guest. You guys know we love the fight game down here. And this man is the authority on all things in all MMA. But I mean, this guy is like the godfather of refereeing. So very big thrill to talk to Big John McCarthy for the first time. Big John, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate you.
Brendan, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. It's nice talking to you with you, man.
Hey, we want to get into this PFL thing and I want to get into Bellator and all that, but I got to get your reaction to last week, the bite. I mean, I'm watching this and I'm like, I tuned into the card late. So I get a notification on my phone. I'm like, fighter disqualified for biting. And I'm like, all right, there's no way. And I'm like, I tune in, I'm seeing this and I'm
there's
seeing
always
it
a way.
I'm like, how have you, first of all, have you ever in your refereeing encountered a bite? And did you go disqualification? Like, and what was your reaction to Bite Gate last week?
You know, it's funny because, you know, when I started, let's just, you know, go back into the caveman days, because when I started, there was two rules, no biting and no eye gouging. You could groin shot. Okay. That was UFC 2. Okay. But I think it was UFC 5. I had a guy that he bit, he tried to eye gouge. But I wasn't allowed to disqualify him. So all it was is I was taking money from him. So you know, that happened all the way back at UFC 5. But no, I've had guys bite. I've had ones where it's the guy actually putting a submission on them that, you know, ends up squeezing in a way that their mouth is open and it's not a bite. It's their teeth are imprinted on the person, but it's only one row basically because the mouthpiece is the other. This one was unique in the fact that not only did he was in control of the actual situation and the action, he took his mouthpiece out to be able to get the bite that he did. And that's where you just look and you go, no. You know, it was funny because the commentators at the time were, oh, you shouldn't just disqualify or anything like that. And I understand why they were saying that. And then they saw it and they go, oh, yeah, he should be disqualified because you can't have someone doing that type of thing in the sport. It shows they have a total lack of professionalism. They are absolutely not mentally prepared to compete at that level. And they're going to do those kind of things. You don't want that in your promotion or your sport.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. You had to take out your mouthpiece to do that.
He did.
That's great.
Exactly. That's where people are like, I said, do you realize that he actually had to remove, at least drop his mouthpiece off into his, you know, cavity of his mouth to get the bite that he got. I mean, it's crazy,
man. Oh, that's wild. All right. So maybe like a month ago, you guys had the launch of like the union between PFL and Bellator. It was a very, very cool event in Saudi Arabia.
February 24th. Yeah.
So it was pretty cool to see that down here in South Florida and see all these distinguished champions put together. How have you thought of the blend so far? That's a very big deal to put these two promotions together. What have you made of the unity so far?
You know, obviously there's going to be, you know, questions about, you know, well, where do I fit in? And that's for everyone, every fighter, everybody in the whole thing. But overall, for the two promotions, especially when you look, the UFC is the big gorilla out there. And Bellator had a really good lineup. They really do. And the PFL, I think, was a little bit behind, you know, Bellator in the level of fighters they have. And so with one move, you've put it to where the PFL now has an incredible array of fighters that they're actually putting some of those fighters into their season tournament, which is only going to, you know, elevate everybody in that. They have the ability to do the Bellator shows where they have single matchups and they have championship fights. And just the fact that the roster that they now have, you know, just available for them to use is going to just make the fight so much better. I look at the heavyweights, because heavyweights everywhere are lacking. Let's just be honest. You know, you just don't have a big talent pool. You look at the 135 pounders or the 145 pounders. I mean, there's so many good guys. You can go down the list of UFC's 1 to 15. You can go down Bellator's 1 to 10. You can go down the PFL, you know, in the 145s. And there's really good fighters in every one of those promotions and all, and that those weight classes. And then you look at the heavyweights, and, man, there's five, maybe six that you can say that those are really good fighters. And the other ones are lacking in areas. And so at least with, you know, Bellator and the PFL getting together, you can look at the heavyweight division. It already has been rejuvenated by Ante Dalí is going to be taking on Valentin Moldovsky, a guy he never would have had the opportunity to fight before. Now it's happening. They can put that together. They have Goltsov, who was in the tournament last year. He's taking on the Bellator guy in Linton Vassell. Now, he won't be a Bellator guy, but he's a Bellator guy. So it really has made it to where they can now make some really good matchups and give people a much better product overall, just based upon the talent pool that they're now working with.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I've liked, like, I've always felt like Bellator, such a great eye for talent and like some of the guys that they're able to find. But the one thing I do love about PFL and Bellator, the old school Bellator had this with Bjorn Redmi that would come down here to the Hard Rock back in the day. Like, the tournament style is really, really fun. But that night, they had that, I want to say it was like November 21, like right out of the fresh of the pandemic. That night where like a guy's life changes, getting $1 million is like one of the coolest nights. Cause you could just see, like, you know, guys who had to do part-time security, like their life changes. And that's, you know, fighter pay is such a big thing that is always talked about, but I think that's a really cool thing that the PFL just kind of puts that golden nugget at the end of all of it.
Yeah. You got to figure that it's not going to be, but what was their last show of the year was a very expensive show for them, because they were giving out, you know, I think six weight classes of $1 million, you know, to the winner. And that's so incredibly inspiring, and it makes a fighter want to be there. And it's the one thing that you got to look at the PFL and say they've been doing something right in the fact that I haven't been there. So it's not me. I'm not saying it, but I can only think of Kayla Harrison is the fighter that, you know, started really, they put their, you know, their emphasis behind, because she's a 2-time Olympic gold medalist. She's the only fighter that's really left them. All the other fighters that have signed, none of them have left. There's been ones that have retired or things like that, but they haven't left. And so obviously the PFL is doing something right for the fighters. They're making them feel good as far as what they're doing. They're giving them the right pay. And look, they're going to have to pay more. You know, Bellator and the PFL, they have to pay more money to get those fighters based upon, hey, that's when you are fighting to, you know, match up to that giant, you're going to have to give that emphasis for someone to say, yeah, I want to fight for you.
It's such an interesting thing too, because, you know, you say like, you know, everybody, and it does feel like the fight community is so tight knit. And it's such an interesting thing. Like down here in South Florida, we have a lot of great gyms, but like American Top Team, all of these guys train with one another. So like a UFC guy and a Bellator guy they're getting each other ready. Like Dustin, one of my friends, Dia Davis, like he trains Dustin Poirier, Johnny Eblen. They worked, you know, together a lot of the time. And it's like,
there you go.
It's gotta be an interesting thing for guys who are in the promotion. You say, well, I can't go. These guys obviously know that they can go with these guys. Like they probably have more rounds than they ever do on the bright lights.
Yeah. The fighters, look, if there's one thing fighters know and trainers know, they know who's good. And, you know, they all train around each other. And, you know, there's ones that are out there that, you know, they get, you know, they have that, you know, backing with the marketing of the UFC, and man, people will say, he'll beat anybody, but I can pick out somebody probably. They'll say, that guy right there has got at least a 50-50 chance of beating him. And that's because there are those guys out there. And the coaches and fighters, they all know. I talk to them all the time. And, you know, and I say, hey, how is so-and-so? I know he's training with, you know, this world champion is training with this world. Who's getting the best? You know, and they'll say, oh, you know, so-and-so every time gets the best of them. Don't, you know, don't say anything about it. And I don't. I would never do that. You don't lose, say those things because you lose confidence from people. But the top people are in that position, and it's hard to explain to people how close they are, because they'll sit there and they'll say, well, percentage points, what are they, like 5% better? 5%? We're talking not even a tenth of a percent makes a huge difference at that level.
Talking to Big John McCarthy, I should mention PFL has just announced their next regular season, April 4th on ESPN 2 and ESPN Plus. You guys can watch heavyweight regular season, women's flyweight regular season is getting going. And they got basically every week then thereafter, the regular season is underway. Is there one in this season? Is there a matchup, somebody, Big John, that you are like most excited about?
Oh my God. You know, if you're going to talk about the whole season, it's tough. But if you're going to talk about the first one here, I mean, there is just so many good fights that are coming out. And like I said, you have the Valentin Moldavsky versus, you know, Anta Delia, who is, you know, that's the main event. And a lot of times, you know, they'll do the main events with, you know, the heavyweights, and I go, you should have put this one, or, you know, put a little bit different one. But this one is actually a great matchup. The way Anta Delia fights and where he's good and what Moldavsky, because Moldavsky is, he's the hybrid heavyweight. He's not real big. He's a 235, 38 pound, you know, heavyweight, but he's fast. He's mobile. He's good everywhere. He's got good wrestling. He's got good stand-up. He's got a great submission game. So he creates problems for everyone with speed. Same as, you know, his mentor is Fedor. And that's what made Fedor so good. He was so much faster than all the other heavyweights that they had to work super hard to try to keep up with him. And, that fight right there is going to be just an incredible fight, but there's great fights throughout this season. You know, Dakota Davichova, who's coming into the, you know, flyweights, you know, she won the European title last year. Now she's going to go and fight on this one. And she's, you know, got, she could end up fighting Liz Carmouche, who is the flyweight champion of Bellator. Liz has got a very tough opening match. It's her third fight against, you know, Juliana Velasquez. So there's so many good fights on the card. They're starting it off right.
You've been there since the beginning of this thing, but calling all the Fedor fights that you did, I mean, is his aura still like, is that legit? Like, are there still, is he on a different, because I remember he was like the first guy that my friend saw me like, hey, you got to come watch a Fedor fight. I think he ended up losing, but like, you got to watch this guy Fedor. He's like, he's the scariest guy out there. I think maybe it was for Affliction or something like that.
Affliction, he won the time he lost.
You ready?
Showtime
on May 3rd. Summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope. Because
I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It was 30, basically, depending upon if you count a loss that Japan gave him when he got headbutted. Or I see elbowed in the face when you weren't allowed to elbow, and he got a cut, and they gave him a loss on that one. He had like 31 wins in a row.
The aura, like, is it there? Because imagine being in the fight game. There's not many guys that could probably, you know, have that for you. But did Fedor have that?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I actually became good friends with Fedor, and the first time that I reffed him was, I want to say, an Affliction, and it was against Andrei Arlovsky, and you know, he was getting beat. Andre was putting it on him. And, you know, Andre was feeling really good in that fight, did a jump knee and got hit in midair and was out going down, you know. And I just looked at him and said, how in the hell did you land that, right? But okay. And then I actually worked out with him after that. And that's when I realized, oh, this dude is just fast. I have to work really hard to keep up with him. And, you know, and so I see where guys are having a lot of problems with him. You know, I thought, just looking at it, maybe he's just like, you know, super strong or something. That wasn't it. He was super fast. But yeah, he had that aura, and it was that aura because of the way that it's all about the way he conducted himself. He conducted himself with class. He never said a bad word about one opponent. He never, you know, he doesn't trash talk. He just has class, but he would walk out. He would have a stoic face, you know, the whole Russian, you know, don't smile, don't, you know, look in any direction. You know, he would raise one hand, you know, when they introduced him, he would go out, knock his opponent out, raise his hand back, and leave the ring. You know, and it's like
so Goosies. That's so cool.
He was special. He was really special. And he's a great guy. He is an absolute gentleman, a wonderful human being to be around. He's got a great sense of humor. He's a huge practical joker. He will pull practical. If he's comfortable with you, look out. You're in trouble.
Just what's your excitement level to see Francis back in MMA? Francis Ngannou, we obviously saw the age of him. So cool that he was able to do that. Like, to bet on himself and do what he did to Tyson Fury and get in the ring with AJ was awesome. Very tough knockout, but like, I cannot wait to see him back in MMA. What's your excitement level to see him back in the cage?
That's the same thing. And honestly, my excitement level based upon what happened in Saudi Arabia before his fight with AJ, when Heenan Fahev knocked out Ryan Bader super fast. Heenan is just a huge individual, 6'8", a good 6'8", probably 6'9", 6'10". And he is absolutely a guy that matches up really well with Francis. And so you can take that fight and put it together and you have something. You have a huge heavyweight matchup with Francis coming back and facing Heenan. So I think I can't wait to see him come back to MMA. I love what he did with the whole boxing thing and trying and stuff, but it's so hard for people to understand how difficult that crossover is when, you know, you're facing people that have spent, you know, a lifetime just working on their hands. That's their whole thing, their footwork and their hands. And now you've been working on not only your footwork and your hands and your kicks and your elbows and your ground game and your jiu-jitsu and your wrestling. You can't match up. It's so much to catch up. And that's why what he did against Tyson Fury was just amazing. And that's why everyone loved about it. But, you know, he's an MMA fighter. I want to see Francis back in an MMA cage.
Big John McCarthy, thanks so much for the time, man. Go watch PFL's upcoming season. It starts up April 4th, ESPN2 and ESPN+. And you guys can see all month long as their heavyweight regular season and women's flyweight regular season is underway. Awesome that they got the rosters together. It should be awesome for the sport. Big John, it was a thrill, man. Thank you so much for the time.
Brendan, thank you very much.